Hello, this is William Fink, and this is Thursday, July 8th, 2010, and this is the Kustaginia European Fellowship Forum. Hello, everybody. How are we doing today?
Hello there.
Well, we're not going to have Matthew. How about June? No June? June can't make it?
Well, June is here, but obviously I've only got one headset, so we're going to have to take it in turns.
Well, that's okay, July.
June says hello to everybody as well. She'll be talking to you shortly.
And what's Bavarian Man's status?
Sorry?
Matthew's status? Something with his computer?
He's got the old software, which apparently is not able to handle TeamSpeak, he says.
Well, he's got, I think, Office 2000. No, he's got Windows 2000, I think, or might
yeah, I tried to I had tried to encourage him to upgrade to Linux or to change his computer to Linux.
Well, I think he did say he had another one and he had done that, but it's still something not quite right. And his friend who helps him remotely in Holland said he. The next step involved with doing something to the kernel and of the computer, and he wanted to try it out at home because if it went wrong, he wouldn't be able to help him remotely online. Well, that's the story I got anyway.
Okay. It sounds like he's calling the kernel the operating system and he's trying to upgrade the operating system. Well, I mean, Windows 2000 is a little old, right? I mean, this is 2010.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got his money's worth out of that operating system, and it's time to move on.
Yeah.
I think it's like the headphone business with Chris and June, actually.
I don't know if you can have get a sort of double headphone set, can you? Like a jack plug that plugs it into two.
No, you're going to need a another computer or a laptop or something, notebook.
Yeah, so,
I mean, that there are. I hate to see anybody have to spend money, but they are pretty cheap nowadays.
Yeah.
I thought you'd got a spare one.
I have, but something wrong. It's not charging. I've got to go and see, what the matter is, and. I'm not sure if because of the battery, might be a fault with the battery. Even when it's plugged in the mains, the light's not showing up as though it's getting any current through.
It's not putting any current through? I mean, the battery should be bypassed when the AC is on.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it still relies on a battery?
Well, I don't know. When you got it on the mains, a light it either shows it's fully charged or there's some indication to show you're connected, you got current coming, but that particular light isn't showing, whether it's because I haven't used it for a long time,
Okay.
And it might be the actual, bulb, I don't know what it is that lights up, might be faulty. Anyway, should be able to get it sorted out. It reminds me how to do that pretty soon.
Yeah, we're all going into advanced technology, aren't we?
Yeah.
Bill's taking us into modern technology.
I'm trying.
You can lead a horse to water,
Speaking of new technology, the new Ensign site, it's on its own. It's on the new server now.
Oh, you said you'd be down for a few hours today. It's there now, is it?
It's done. It was done yesterday. I'm working the Swift site right now.
Oh.
I'm in the middle of moving the Swift site right now.
Right.
But the new Ensign site was done yesterday. And it's fast as hell, and you'll be very pleased with it.
Oh, great. That's good.
Yeah.
No more 20-second page load times. They load in about 2 seconds now, which is fine.
Oh, that's brilliant.
What can I say with Mr. Swift's stuff? I've got a bed with drawers under it, and they're absolutely crammed with Wesley Swift and the other lady that sent his Bible study writings down. So if I ever disappear, people will wonder what on earth I've got in my rooms. You know, all my drawers are stuffed with paper. Because Chris downloaded those to me, was it 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes.
And incredible amount of reading there was to do from those downloads. So I feel I've got something in advance, you know. Very interesting.
I was going to say, I don't know if you like to hear, it's quite interesting, the last the last paragraph of the book. It sort of gives you an insight to Paul Sinteter's thinking. Would you like me to read it to you, how I translated it?
Fine.
Yes.
Right, here goes. Israel was held together only by faith in Jehovah, the kingdom only through Christianity. We are just the chosen people of God. This is not an empty word of arrogance, but of the deepest concern, because we are different from all the nations of the earth. The Englishman, the Frenchman, for example, whether bourgeois or socialist, is naturally through and through. Its nationality through and through. The German is first cosmopolitan. In the long run, he may fail to achieve his destiny despite the laudable efforts of the so-called national parties. Germans did not succeed to be German in order to succumb to the French and English ways. We have to take Otto the Great as a model and replicate his work with the resources which are available at present. To Germans, Christianity, oblique religion, is a private matter, and this statement can be applied to fit American conditions. To the German, it represents the culmination of the absurd. Our mission is to serve the empire and to pick up the cross of Christ. For as we are bound by our actions in the historical past circumstances of primitive times, which teaches us in an unsurpassable way. And then he goes on with a Goethe poem. As to your day that lent you the world, the sun was in salutation of the planets, are forthwith and thrived on and on, according to the law by which you made. So you must be, you cannot escape yourself, so said already sibyls and prophets, and dismember no time and no power, embossed from that develops as it lives. And that's the last paragraph, that's the end.
I'm curious to see how he was as a historian.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be able to...
Well, you find he's got some funny ideas.
Yeah.
I think he sees, from what I can gather, he sees the Poles as the Philistines and the the French as Canaanites.
Yeah, that's a little funny. But, yeah, you know, with the French antagonism towards the Germans, I can't blame them in a way. The Southern French, that they may have a good amount of Canaanite stock in them, but maybe not the way that Sensitius thought.
No. And also, what was, he was also somewhere saying the name German was derived from the Hebrew Jer, which means stranger, you know, strange, a stranger man, you know, German.
That's strange.
Yeah. And then he says Jacob in Hebrew, Ephraim got his name from means Amalek. And he said he got it from the Amalek Mountains in central Canaan. So he's associating Ephraim's name with Amalek.
Yeah, that's a little... He had some strange ideas.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well,
you know, whether this works out for better or worse, Yair Dvidi quotes this sensitiveness all the time.
Yeah. He's got some good information as to, you know, the various place names in Europe, how they are derived from, you know, from places in the Middle East where they migrated from.
Well, one thing I always worried about was Bayreuth in Germany.
I don't know if I haven't come across that so far.
Bayreuth was Wagner's hometown.
It's
in Bavaria, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, Bavaria man to know all about that. And then he goes on to mention about how certain topography, you know, refers to the bitter salt lakes in eastern Asia Minor, how they sort of replicated in, I think, Central Europe and parts of Sweden and Holland, things like that. But mainly all the tribes, you know, he refers to them as German, you know, like the Swedish and the other Scandinavians, he refers to them as Northern Germans.
Well, basically they are.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Tacitus mentioned the Finns and said that he wasn't sure whether he should classify them as Germans or as Sarmatians. Tacitus did not classify the Sarmatians as Germans, right? And he also mentions this tribe called the Suiones, Suiones, okay, who lived out on the sea. And I really believe that they're the Swedes.
I think he mentions those.
Yeah, I'm convinced that the Suiones are the Swedes.
Yeah. And also...
And he counts them all as Germanic tribes, basically.
Yeah, it's only Germany that's Germans or Israelites.
and the Jutes of Jutland were considered a Germanic tribe, there's no doubt.
Oh yes, he mentioned those, yes. And he says a lot of them moved down, you know, southwest to Germany. He also mentions that in... Swabia, there's a high incidence of left-handedness, and he puts, so therefore he's associating them with Benjamin.
Swabia?
Swabia, yeah.
Well, that's modern-day Baden-Württemberg.
Yeah. That's down in the Black Forest. That's where Wolfgang is.
Right. Ancient Swabia, though, it's ancient, you know, it's equivalent roughly to modern-day Baden-Württemberg and maybe some of the surrounding parts of the surrounding states.
Yeah, and it adjoins Bavaria.
Well, yes.
And also, I think you've got the Hohenzollern Castle in Swabia, just south of Stuttgart.
My father's mother was from Baden. Her family came here in the 1890s. The last German-speaking person in my lineage.
What prompted them to leave Germany and go to America? What was the prompt for this sort of exodus into America from all the tribes?
Well, you know, Germany is a pretty crowded place. It always has been. They're still, you know, looking to emigrate. Germans are still emigrating to the Americas. Except they can't come to the United States, so today most of them go to, there's a great influx of Germans. There's a lot of German settlers in Mexico and in some other places in South America that are there recently and that are trying to, also maintain their Germanness. Now, the 30 Years' War is precipitated much German immigration to America. I have a book upstairs about the Germans that settled in upstate New York. After the 30 Years' War, a certain cleric went to a Lutheran cleric approached personally Queen Anne and asked her for land in the New World for a lot of displaced families that you know, families that whose farms and towns were burned out in the 30 Years' War, and granted a large part of New York State to these families in something called the Mohawk Valley, and over a 4-year period, like 13,000 Germans emigrated from the Rhineland to the Mohawk Valley in New York.
Wow. Don't hear any of this history, do we?
No. But German was competed with English here in America.
Right,
even so Benjamin Franklin was afraid that German was going to become the official language of Pennsylvania.
I think somebody said when they had a vote on it, English only won by one vote.
Well, yeah, but that was Pennsylvania. That wasn't all the colonies. A lot of people get confused about that, right? That was Pennsylvania. It was not all the colonies. Because especially in the southern colonies and in New England, I mean, the Englishmen were English was the predominant stock, right, of whites in Georgia, the Carolinas, in the Virginia, and in New Jersey, and in Massachusetts, and Rhode Island and Connecticut. English was always the dominant stock in those states. That there were little pockets of Germans and Dutch in New Jersey and in some of those other places, but English was by far dominant in those colonies and English people. Now that there was a large percentage of Dutch and Germans in New York, but the English culture prevailed, and there's a large percentage of Germans in Pennsylvania, but the English barely prevailed there, but it prevailed because the English were more unified and had greater numbers, even if slightly greater numbers in some colonies, like in Pennsylvania.
Also, the other thing to remember is there were huge settlements of Germans in Russia, and it was Catherine the Great who encouraged them to settle as a bulwark against the Huns in the southeast.
Well, right. Well, Germany is a pretty crummy land. People have been trying to. The heavily forested. And in the lower Germany, it's all swamps. It's heavily laden with swamps, and it's not as arable as the Ukraine or Gaul and northern Italy, which are much more pleasant lands. And that's why the Germans for so many centuries pressed across the Rhine and across the Alps for looking for better land. That was easier to farm. Even today, Germany has some areas that are heavily forested and sparsely populated.
Yes, in the south, isn't it? Sorry, in the south. Black Forest area.
Right.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it's hard for an isolated tribe to live there, you know?
Yes, it is, because the land is not open.
So they've been pressing south and west for how many years? Even Caesar remarked about that, how badly the German tribes wanted to get across the Rhine to better land.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, talking about that, he compares Germany, with the promised land of Canaan, and he says, the promised land couldn't have been referring to Canaan because it referred to a land of milk and honey. And he said, Canaan lacks the lime forests, which honeybees thrive on. And also he said it was fairly mountainous. But he said, on the other hand, Germany has huge lime forests and oodles of honey and vast arable land on the German plain, and so therefore he was saying the promised land of milk and honey was Germany.
Oh. Yes.
Well, that's if I translated it right.
Yeah, well, I would believe he was probably right about that, but the German tribes didn't stay in Germany, did they? I mean, they went to England,
oh,
and
no,
they came to America.
No.
And
What about Independence Day? Did you observe that?
Well, I took my kids to see the fireworks, and I took some pictures, but I didn't really observe it. I didn't do anything that differently than I wouldn't have done if it weren't July 4th, right?
No.
I mean, it doesn't mean... I take advantage of the situation to teach people what patriot and patriarch and patriotic should really mean, right?
Yes. I just wondered, you know, because my son-in-law is American and he makes such a big thing of it. And I did say to him, it was to celebrate getting away from the English, you know, and I had to read a little article because I don't really know what happened. But apparently the French went on the side of the Americans and caught us in a little bay, apparently. So the American and the French were able to overcome us, and that was independence. But you don't hear any of this history anywhere.
France had been competing with England for a long time.
Yeah.
And of course they would take advantage of the division between thunder. England and the colonies.
Rattling.
Mm. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they take advantage of the situation to weaken England? That they would, of course.
Yes, well, they've never liked us, even to this day.
We've never been able to trust them, and they're so unstable.
Mm.
Well, you know, France is named France, but the Franks are German, and they're good people. It's the Gauls that you know, the Gallic people that inhabited, that adopted Roman language and habits and ways, were, I believe they were already a very mixed people, especially in south of France, by the time the Franks came to dominate the nation, right?
All right.
And for that reason, I believe France has always been a boiling pot. I might be wrong. Now, another thing that happened with France is that the de Medicis got their way into France's royal line, you know. A lot of those French kings had actually descended from the de Medicis.
Oh, well, that might account for it.
Oh, yeah, that accounts for a great deal of it.
How interesting. We definitely need real history lessons. Because it's so interesting to see how things shape, you know.
Well, right, and I'm not an expert on the Middle Ages, but to get real history lessons, you need to identify the parties right from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And if we don't break it down in the racial concepts that it's supposed to be broken down into, we'll never understand real history.
No, I think that's it. I think it's only since Christian identity messages are coming over that we're actually getting history. Because even in churches, they don't teach history.
I've been to Northern Quebec, and I've seen the most beautiful people in the world up there. And they're Franks. They're real French. I think that's where the only real French left are. You might find pockets of them in France, but you'll definitely find them in Northern Quebec.
Mm.
Each year I used to have French students over here in the summer holidays, and I would say that none of them looked Anglo-Saxon. None of them.
Well, the ones I saw in Quebec, they could have all passed for being British or Irish in a minute.
Right.
Red hair, freckles, blonde hair, ivory skin, you know.
I didn't have any of those. They were just the opposite.
Wow. That's that south of France influence, I believe, that was mixed with Moors at an early time.
That's right. And also their colonies, I think, they mixed there as well. Judah. And then they've come back.
Right. A history of France is a history. Yeah, you know, it's a microcosm of world history.
Mm.
Remember, it wasn't until rather late in the Middle Ages that the Franks had actually come to dominate all of France politically. Yeah, you know, France wasn't a united nation for all this last 2,000 years, or even since the fall of Rome. It was a lot of little principalities.
That's right.
And of course,
after, say, things like the Bartholomew's Eve murder, which was in the late 1500s, you had a lot of Huguenots coming over to Britain and possibly going further to America. So that would have meant a great shift in the Anglo-Saxon population because they were not Catholics, of course. They were just the opposite.
Right. They represented probably the better stock of France to a degree.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Yes.
Yes. They all settled in a particular road in London, and you go there now and see the Huguenot house where they settled. They were so industrious with the needle and cloth and everything. And it, really, to this day, that has carried on. I'm not through the Jews took over and opened up sweatshops there, but principle of cloth and needlework they brought with them.
That's
wonderful. Industrious people. In fact, the Orange Street Church is a Huguenot church. It's certainly got Huguenot characteristics. I think Chris probably will know more about the history of that.
Is that why it was the Orange Street Church? Because maybe it's Dutch or something? I'm being silly, but...
No, it's got nothing to do with the orange colour, but the Huguenots definitely built the original church that was on that site, right in the middle of a field, and we have a picture of that.
Yes, because there's that great church nearby, St Martin's in the field, isn't it?
Yes, that's before the city, before London town was built around them. The Huguenots definitely started the first church there and built the original building for to meet in.
So the Orange Street Church was in the middle of a field.
Well,
oh,
everything in London was in the middle of the field at one time. It's,
well, right, I've seen pictures of it, and it looks like it's crowded in with big buildings.
Yes. Of course it is now. But when it was originally built, it was just a site in a field. And,
wow.
But as you say now, it's been built around to such an extent, it just seems...
It looks very odd, though, doesn't it, amongst all the surrounding buildings? It looks like something...
Yes.
From a former time. How old
yes.
is it? How many hundreds of years?
Orange Street.
When I see the Orange Street Church, I'm amazed that it has escaped the clutches of the real estate speculators for so long.
Yes, I think they've got their eyes on it.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's the first thing you think of in Manhattan when you see a little church crammed in behind these... between these giant skyscrapers, right? How did that get past the real estate speculators?
Well, it got past insofar as the people who were worshipping there and the oversight of the churches, they kept it secure.
Yeah, right, they didn't sell out. But many congregations...
The building next to the church is... has been rented out to the as a library. It was Isaac Newton's home, and they've got it leased out to a council affair at a very unfair rent, I believe. But that's all part of the difficulties. But I mean, the church itself, it has an amazing history, and it has some very top men who were occupying the pulpit in the ministry. And
what about just the opposite, isn't it?
Yes, now they seem hell-bent on pulling it down and destroying the witness and everything, which we are trying to stand against that. A few of us are determined to keep it open for this Israel message. That's what the church was renowned for. Everybody who came to England that was interested in the Israel truth, they made a point of visiting Orange Street Church to hear it proclaimed. And now there's a few there who, I'm quite certain, they're into universalism and they think that the rest of us should be quiet and just go along with them. And I'm afraid I'm not a quiet person. If the Lord has prompted me for something, then I'll stand for it.
And well, that's very noble of you, Jim.
Well,
what about the Orange part of it, June?
Well,
was that William of Orange?
No. There were stables, horse racing stables, down the road from where the church was built. And actually, that Orange Street Church was part of that. And that man, whoever he was, he had his racing colours were orange.
Oh.
And that's lasted right through these generations. And so now it's Orange Street.
So now does the church date back to the time of Isaac Newton? Because that's only the middle of the 17th century, I mean.
Oh, no, it would be on before that. But, I mean, when the Huguenots came over and they got themselves established in a way, they needed a place to worship. And that is what, as a community, that's what they did. They built that original building. It's not the building we have now, but it is the site. It has been renovated and altered a bit in various times. But in that Long's Court, which is the address of it, that's on the original site. And the house that Isaac Newton lived in next door to the church, it was all part of the same building. He did a lot of work there.
Yes, yes.
Somehow I don't think he was a congregant.
Pardon?
Well, maybe he was, but somehow I don't think he was a congregant.
Oh, I don't think that he was necessarily part of the...
He was a Christian.
Yes. Chris has just handed me a book about the history. It was founded in 1693.
Okay.
And there's a picture here of Sir Isaac Newton's house and the Congregational Church.
All right, Newton lived until 1727.
But there's, as I say, it was leased to the council or county council or whoever, and they're using it as a library. But, I mean, it's separated from the church. The buildings are joining, but we don't have any... We don't have any communion with them as far as I can make out.
But Orange Street Church itself, it does relate back to that time. It's got very old-fashioned pews and the wood everything.
Yes.
It's not... I mean, they're not comfortable seats in that church. You have to sit up. If you doze, you would fall off your seat. I mean, they were... Very
when it was started, people didn't go to church to doze off. They were so alert was being preached. And let's face it, when we get the occasional speaker that keeps us awake, we don't want to go to sleep, do we?
But they're very narrow seating. It's not for comfort. That's what I mean.
Oh, no.
That's
what made me...
Felix Huguenot.
I don't think that any churches, I was brought up in a Methodist church, and while as children and young people we didn't affect a bit about the seating. I mean, it was hard wood, and there was never any cushions, at least they had cushions in Orange Street. I suppose it was all part of the non-conformist style. We weren't going for comfort, we were going to hear the word and relying upon that. But, it is interesting that this church is still open at the moment. And although there seem to be moves to get it closed down and weeks when it hasn't been opened and that sort of thing, but me are trying to make a stand against that. I mean, it has a lovely organ in the church, but at one time it had a gallery, you know, in the days when
did it?
Oh, yes. I mean, most churches in those days did have a gallery because the congregation was so big they needed the extra seating. But there was one man who said when he was asked to come and speak in that church, he felt very humbled to think that he was being asked to stand in the pulpit where so many great men had given forth. Augustus Toplady, he was one of the ministers. They had a tremendous number of real great men for the truth. But
today they could probably meet in a phone booth.
Pardon?
Today they could probably meet in a phone booth.
And then there'd be plenty of room.
Yeah. That's a shame.
I think they're aiming at something like that. But we're just looking for the... You see, I believe that when this truth that we know and understand, when that becomes known to the rest of the people, I believe the Lord is intending for his people to come to the knowledge of who they are. And when they do, I think, well, they'll need somewhere to come and hear the teaching. And this is why some of us think that a few churches in Britain should be kept open against all the odds at the moment, so that the truth can be declared and people can be discipled into this truth. But at the moment, we'll need somebody to do the discipling, because the ones that are there at the moment, they're not interested.
Another generation, it might be the Orange Street Mosque.
It might be another carpet warehouse.
Yeah, that too.
Except that real estate is far too valuable.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that is a prize piece of real estate, and you are looking at millions and millions of pounds.
Well, that's why I said I'm surprised it's resisted the speculators all this time. That's amazing.
Well, it's probably on the knife edge.
That's the credit to the men of old who were serving the Lord. And while we think there might be a few who would be quite happy to see it go, few of us are digging out holes in.
Like Alison Porter.
But we are not...
I'm not pulling any...
We're not interested in the finance. We are interested in the truth being proclaimed.
Well, right, absolutely.
And we've got to... We're just relying upon the Lord, because in ourselves we can do nothing against the powers that be. But you know what the Lord tells us? One with him is a majority. There's a few ones of us, so we're looking to him. So, you see, I always think, well, why did the Lord draw me down to London? I live up in County Durham. And yet I was drawn to that church. And I want to be useful there in whatever way that the Lord sends, whether it's keeping the toilets clean or making the tea or declaring God's word. I love reading the word, and I sometimes have had the opportunity to do that in the church, and that's been a joy.
You've got the job, June.
Well, it's the last time I was there, need somebody to do a bit cleaning.
That was great to say.
It used to be a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It used to be gleaming. And now it's just got a real run-down look, like the people that have been in charge, I think.
Well, there's a laugh of it. It's gone, isn't it? If you haven't got the care about it.
No, if you're not interested in keeping it nice, well,
no. That's just not there.
No, that's That's quite... I just noticed on Sunday some of the stairs down to the crypt. I don't think they've had a brush near them for months and months.
Mm.
You know, I thought it never used to be like that. It was
well, actually, they hire it out, don't they, to a Chinese group?
Oh,
do they?
Oh, yes, well... We don't all agree with that, but of course they do that for the income. You see, the point is that people who seem to be there at the moment and who declare they're in charge, they don't want any input from Chris or me or a few of us. You see, to me, if they knew God's word, if they studied the word, they would know that we don't need to look for money. He will supply. But instead of that... They're seeking this group and that to contribute to the funds to keep it open. Well, I mean, that's wrong.
Yes.
But, I mean, they don't want my opinion. I've made my ideas known, and my goodness, they asked us to withdraw our membership. I thought, well, who do they think they are? If the Lord's put me there, I'm not going to run away from it. However,
but Orange Street apart, churches or those sort of buildings, you know, I just don't see the point. They're so expensive, and with modern day technology, we can disseminate this same information more effectively and more cheaply.
Well, that's the answer right here.
Yes.
The people here, not even the server, the people are the church. Yes. That's what counts.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I understand that. But as I say, when people travel to Britain, come to England, and that is their main idea, they will come to Orange Street to hear this truth proclaimed. And unfortunately, at the moment, it isn't being proclaimed. But complain about it. We have people in charge who don't want you to ask questions. They don't want any discussion. They just want us to say, whatever you say, we'll do it. Well, I'm not that sort of a person, so it gets me into trouble. And I'm not concerned or worried about the trouble either. It's just, they just do not want any... I mean, it's been said they want a nice, quiet meeting. Well, I think anybody who's been there has never been to a noisy meeting. But
you can
just take it from that. They just don't want somebody like me there who'll say, Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
No. they don't want you to join in.
Sorry. How many years, Betty, is it since you've been to church, as we used to know it?
Oh, I think when I was 16 years old. I was 16 and I was Sunday school teaching and in the choir. And something happened that this man said, people are not coming and it's spoiling his register. and at 16, you know, everything is... black or white. Well, I said, you mustn't worry about your register. You've got, you know, when so many words, I thought, well, this is not for me, and I just left. But after that, there was a boy in the background, and this was when the last year when war was over, and he wasn't a bit concerned about church or that. I think really his influence, maybe I would have gone back, I don't know, because I loved the singing and the sociability there, and I did it, you know, I felt, but I didn't understand, I just took in what they said, you know. Enjoyed the Christmas and the Easter, and but I didn't go again. And I really can't stand going in churches now because I think of the groves. When I look at the ceiling and see how they've all been built as groves, you know, it just puts me off. And when I go in, I mean, I go in very critically. Notre Dame and Cologne, they're horrible places. Horrible. But people are blinded and think they're wonderful places.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't miss going in. I down the road from me, there's a beautiful cathedral, but I don't know what it is. It's just like bricks and mortar. It's got nothing that I would like, you know. I think people just go, it's like a status symbol. They all love their cathedral and got nothing to do with the Almighty or the message. So it's just a nice social gathering. So how many years is it since you've been in a church, Judith?
It was 92 when I sort of got thrown out or left or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's that long. But I, you know, it was the beginning of freedom. It was the beginning of starting to see things in a completely different light. But, you know, it took me until 99 to then come into this Christian identity message. So there was a few years sort of getting rid of all the rubbish that I'd accumulated, all the baggage. And it's just been, if I say solitary, it's been absolutely great because with computers and so forth, you're able to learn so much.
It's like a one-on-one, isn't it? And the spirit is guiding you where
all the time
you need to go.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I was about 45 when I had a calling and I went to Worldwide Church. You know, all those years there was something lacking, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And I was in that church for years and years, but that gave me the grounding. He knew about the tribes and he knew history and he, you know, I'm not saying he was right, but that put me on that base to begin learning. So I'm grateful for that. And now I'm getting to know Chris and going down and June and the literature we used to get from British Israel. Long before I went to Orange Street, Mr. Armstrong used to get all their literature and I was gravitating that way more than any other. And then Chris used to have a Bible study, and I used to look forward to that once a month and learnt a lot there. So all these things begin to be opened up to you that you don't really know where they are until you go to these meetings. And here we are today. This wonderful opportunity that Bill has presented to us, that we can have fellowship from our own homes, you know. And that is wonderful.
Yes.
Don't blame me for it.
Is.
Well, yeah, we blame you, absolutely.
Yes, I mean, who knows what the future is going to bring with this sort of medium. We could all sort of see each other on the screen and everything. And we like a fellowship meeting. Well, it is a fellowship meeting, but...
Yes. More visual, yes.
Yes. I mean.
Well, that's you know, this stuff should have been done in Identity One before I got out, the way I look at it. I mean, I don't know why it wasn't. I'm not blaming anybody in particular. But I think that there's I was kind of disappointed with the amount of available websites and things like that to people. I was really disappointed. UI Site and two or three others, but they even though the technology was old, they weren't attractive. They weren't getting people to stay and investigate. You know.
No. Well, they were waiting for you to come along. That's all I can say. And I think we were all waiting for you to come along and get it going. It had to be an expert.
I don't know why, but that's okay.
Well, there you are. You're landed with the job now.
Well, so.
Well, we all got to do what we could do, you know, and I don't know what else to say.
I mean, I know a lot of people work hard, but I guess they just I think it's the
as technically inclined as they.
No, it's a technology, isn't it? And also, the broadcasts, the talk broadcasts, you know, the Friday and Saturday, people learn a lot of scripture through those broadcasts.
Yeah, well, I consider them among the most important things I do.
Yes, that's right. Yes, they are. I think that's wonderful.
But of course, when we're talking about timing, we are in God's time. I believe He's the one who has developed this.
Yes.
And He's brought Bill, and we rejoice and praise the Lord for it, because this is such a wonderful ministry. And this is what I love, the verse by verse. You can't improve on that.
No.
The Lord's revealing so many things to us. And when we love the scriptures to start with, as I have from childhood, I've loved the St. James, the authorized versions, all I've ever read in the scriptures. And it just brings it to life. It's really wonderful to me. Mm. And I don't care. I mean, I go to the meeting in Orange Street whenever I can, and I can enjoy some of them, and some of them I'm not happy about. But I enjoy the fellowship with the people who are there, and I'm not interested in the building as such. I was brought up in a nonconformist church. And we didn't think about the building. We knew you could eat your meat off the floor. It was so clean always and cared for by the ladies in the church. And but it was the fellowship while we were there, and it was the teaching we got in those early days. And now I think, well, even that's changed, because, I mean, the Lord tells us that evil men will get in and they'll wax worse and worse, and we are living in the days when we've actually seen this happen. I remember the old Methodist preachers, they knew the word inside out, and it was wonderful to be in their presence. When they prayed, they brought you to the very throne of God. And now we meet up with men that they seemingly cannot pray in a public way. They cannot bring the church members before God. And you see, when you've been accustomed to that from childhood, you find it rather difficult. But we know we are on the side of the one who has won the battle, and we're just prepared to go along with him. He says, don't run before him. Don't lag behind, or else the Amaleks will get you. And so we keep in step insofar as we can, and we give him all the praise and the honour and the glory, because he alone is worthy to be praised. I'm very happy in his care.
Mm.
And I just wish that many others could come to this understanding. And I believe, because we read it in the word, that the true people of God will come to know who they are. And I think that the time is drawing near, because people are so disappointed in the way things are going. And a few of them are old enough to know it didn't used to be like this.
But there are a lot of people that know, because in this country, you know, when the Feast of Tabernacles comes round,
yes,
there are hundreds upon hundreds of English people that go to the feast. So they do know, and they are part, they know what part of Israel they are. The only thing,
yes,
that they don't understand, they're not taught the two seed line. So,
yes, well,
that, you know, there are hundreds of people that really, because haven't come from the Christian church, they've come through another medium.
Yes.
They know who they are, you know.
Yes.
Well, they used to. Whether they've gone off, I don't know. But they still meet for all the feast days, you see.
Yes, for the feasts, yes.
Mm. Well, that's all great, but you still have to teach the sheep who the wolves are. Yes. And that's a void in
That's the big problem. And, of course, as far as British Israel, so-called, I've never liked that expression. Even as a young girl, I didn't think that was right. I knew it was far bigger than that. And when you read, I mean, to me, they are 100 years behind the time. They're still concentrating on what these men said all those years ago. And yet the Lord has revealed so much more to us in more recent times. Well, to me, we should be moving in step with him, not hanging back in the dark ages, as it were. And this is where I just find, well, they've missed the boat, really.
Well yes, they have missed the boat. In fact, they not only missed the boat, but they jumped off over the dock.
They jumped off before they came to the quayside, that's true.
They jumped over the dock trying to get the boat drowned. it's pretty sad. I'm going to keep on the British Israel people. I haven't heard anything. I mean, Alan Patterson has sent, I can't even think of his name right now. I'll just call him What's-His-Face. He sent him a letter and kind of challenged him to discuss these things with us, and I haven't heard anything further.
Well,
so this character that wrote the DNA article for British Israel.
Martin Lightfoot.
That's it. Thank you, June.
Yes. They're not going to discuss anything with you. That's what's wrong with our place in Orange Street. They don't want any discussion because somebody might reveal the truth. And they'd rather go on in the dark. So that's just my humble opinion.
That audio file that Clifton and I did, that program that we did, that has a lot of downloads from Chris DeGenia so far from my main website. It has 735 downloads.
Wow. That's very good.
It is. I believe that when this truth is made, when people come to recognize it, it's no good going to established churches and expecting them to take it on board because they're happy where they are. We need to go out into the highways and byways and declare it to the people that haven't got anything to forget. Because this is why churchianity is such a terrible thing. Tell them something new and, oh no, my mother believed this and my grandmother was here, and they'll have any excuse rather than search the scriptures. I love that Paul said he appreciated the Bereans because they said, we've heard what you say. Now we will go and see, we'll search the scriptures and see if these things be so. Wonderful, because they were searching the Old Testament, as we know. And, to me, that's what this life should be about. Making sure what we're hearing is in accordance with God's truth, with Yahweh's precious word.
Well, that's it. Scripture always has to be the ruler. Scripture always has to be the measure that we walk by with everything.
Yes. And if it doesn't matter what did Paul say? Even if an angel comes and tells you something different, don't believe it. Just stand on the word.
Right. Because
we can't do anything else. And when they tell us to be quiet, we have to say what Peter said. And he was apprehended for preaching Yeshua. He said, I can do no other.
We have to obey God and not men.
Yes, and not men. And the point is, if we, who believe we're part of the truth, if we don't stand up to these men, then they'll have their own way, won't they? Well, they won't get it with me.
Absolutely.
With the Lord's
we have to resist
you. Stand. Yes.
And that's our primary responsibility in this age, is to resist and rebuke evil.
Yes, that is true.
We don't have to punish the evildoers. Well, oh, no, we're told Yahweh will do that. But we are told, are my witnesses. Ye are my witnesses. And it, what good is a witness if he's not witnessing?
And what's good of a witness if he just quivers everywhere the wind blows him?
Right.
We've got to know the truth and stand on the truth, on the rock.
Absolutely. Stand. That's our responsibility. Hello, Rudolph. I'm glad to see you could make it. I know you're tired and you work hard. You're working way too much. I guess maybe he doesn't have a microphone.
He's got a cross by his name. It's not on the telephone.
Oh, shoot. Oh, yeah, I'm silly.
Yeah.
I am silly. Okay. Now he can talk if he... Hello, Rudolph. Maybe he doesn't have a microphone. That's okay, too. So what else do we have going on besides the Sensitius product, the Sensitius project? That is, I was hoping that somebody, I was hoping that Icelander would stick around, and somebody the other day wanted to ask him something about translating some material from Icelandic, but that person isn't here right now, and I guess maybe it'll happen next time.
By the way, Olin Fodler asked me to give you his apologies. He's in Northern Ireland at the moment. He said he's there on a mission to convert them to the two seed line. And
that's rich.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably more important, right? I mean, it's nice to have this fellowship, but he'll be here another time, and that's more important. If he can convert all of Northern Ireland to two seed line, that's much more important than sitting here talking about it.
That's it.
Okay, now it's working. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Rudolph. I'm glad you made it. That's great. It's great to have you. Well, Rudolph, that greeting didn't elicit any response. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just eating my late dinner or lunch or whatever I can call it.
Okay, I hope you're done for the day. I mean, you've probably been working since early this morning, right?
Yeah, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock, you know, and working till 6 p.m., so it's kind of long shift.
Wow, that's a tough life.
No, well, this is the real world now in the U.K., I would say.
I guess it's better than being out of work in America, right?
Well, I think everywhere.
Rudolph, how long are you planning on being here? Have you got a guaranteed job?
Well, yeah, I plan to stay here for some couple of years, probably, in depending on the situation back home. But it won't improve, I guess. So maybe 5, maybe more years. Now I got a job. It's pretty hard job working in warehouse. Monday to Friday, and then on Sunday I'm working in per company. But you know, it gives me money to live, so that's okay.
Yes, yes, keeps the wolf from the door.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, and the debt collector as well.
So,
well, usually they're wolves.
Yes.
Bill, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Did you receive any email regarding Eli yesterday?
No. Regarding Eli, no. I don't think so.
Well, because I got the email, you know, claiming that this was something like, you know, money issue with Eli, and I don't know what was going on. It was just, you know, some email from, I think, South Carolina, Grand Dragon or whatever. And it was, I would like to know if you know something about that, but probably I need to write to Eli.
Well, you know something? I do know that Eli called me 2 weeks ago, and this is more or less in confidence that Eli told me that he had a falling out with some of those people, well, with one in particular. I can't remember exactly what it was over, but Eli didn't mention anything about money. But he asked me to... investigate why he couldn't get to their website, and basically it was only because he was using the wrong address, right? He was trying to go to .com instead of .net, and he expected to be slandered by them several weeks ago.
And actually, it happened, you know, he was like accused of stealing money, you know?
Okay, well, you'd have to, yeah, you know, Eli could answer for that, I can't. But Eli did tell me a few weeks ago, he called me up rather concerned he couldn't get to this gentleman's website. And
That it's nothing new. Probably it happened to some other people as well. So, but I will definitely write to Eli to know, you know, what was going on, you know?
Yeah, you should, because he's been expecting to be slandered by these people. I'm being honest. He didn't think it. He thought it would be something different, but I can't remember precisely what, and I'm not sure if I would share it if I could remember it. Yeah, you know, because it's Eli's business, but.
By the way, did I mention to you that I bought a brand new color laser computer printer?
A color laser printer? Yeah, I would just have to hate to pay for the ink for it.
But it was pretty nice price, you know. It was like £112, which will do a job, you know, because you know to get some color covers for the materials and maybe some pictures. It'll be nice.
Right, I would love to be able to have one, but what stopped me was the cost of the ink cartridges to start out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you get a real nice printer for $300, and then they want $120 for an ink cartridge, and I'm like, and you need four of them, right? And I'm like, no way, I can't do that.
Exactly. You're
spending $1,000 for a $300 printer. That's
right,
crazy.
First, I thought about just, you know, the general office, multifunction, you know, something, but it's way too expensive to keep it up, you know, the price you pay for the printer itself, it's pretty low, but the cartridges, oh my God, you know, you will be filthy rich.
Well, right. That's why they want to, you know, that's why you'll see those printers continue to decline in price. Because they make their money on the ink cartridges. It's the same thing with the inkjets. Yeah, you know, when I bought my first inkjet printer, it was 1991, I believe. Or 1990, I'm sorry. Because Windows 3 had just come out. And it was May of 1990. And I went out, and I had a lot of money when I was young. And I went out and I bought a Hewlett-Packard inkjet 2 printer. $1,200. And it took one black cartridge and one combination color cartridge. And they were $30 a piece. But later on, after the initial popularity, those printers dropped to like $50 because they make so much money on the ink cartridges, they don't really have to charge you for the printer.
That's right.
It's kind of like oil companies giving away cars.
But, Dale, we've found a fairly cheap supply of ink. Ink. And it works very well on our printers. And it's a fraction the cost of the...
Is that for a laser or for a inkjet?
Mine's inkjet, but... Chris, what's yours?
Well, I got an inkjet and a laser.
Yeah.
But like you, if I buy the manufacturer's ink cartridge, I think... I need five of them. You know, there's one for the four different colours and the black. They're about £13 each. Whereas, you know, again, the alternative, an unbranded one, I can get them for about £2 each. So that's quite a big saving.
Wow, I haven't seen any price difference like that.
Yeah, and they work superbly.
And likewise, our friend Rudolph was talking about the laser printer. Well, I got one. It was on special offer. I think it was £45. I think it was actually £40. And so I got it, and I asked how much the cartridges were, and he said £57. So I said, oh, it'd be cheaper for me every time I want a new cartridge, come and get a new printer. He said, oh, no, it doesn't work like that, because on the initial one you get, it's not fully charged, can't think of the name now, the toner, that's it. Otherwise, it'd be cheaper to go and get a new printer instead of a new cartridge. But I did find somewhere where I could... whether they're still available, I got some at half price, you know, £28 instead of £57. So that was quite a saving. Whether they're still available, I don't know.
Well, I don't print a whole lot because ink is a hurdle.
Yeah. Oh, well, when it's cheap. Sorry.
$17, I think, for black ink cartridges, and I'm lucky if I get 150 pages out of it. That's like 12 cents a page.
That's terrible. My printer tells me that it's running out of ink, and then I ignore it. And then it says, you have now run out of ink, and I still ignore it, and I get
I do the same thing.
And then I get about another 200 pages.
Right, I do the same thing, but I never get that much out of it. I might get another 10 or 20 pages out of it.
Well, this is why I print everything off, because it's much pleasanter than, you know, reading things from the computer monitor.
I don't print anything. Eli asked me if I print my notes, you know, if I could print my notes. I don't print my notes for a program. I get it all off the screen. I use 4 screens, don't get me wrong, but I get it all off the screen. I have talked to you going on my old computer, and I got 2 screens on my other computer and my laptop screen, and I usually use all 4 of them. But I get all my notes and my Bible works and Libronics, all the reference material I need off the screen. I don't print nothing. I think that's the idea of the computer, is not to print anything. That's what I find.
Oh, I don't know. With the wonderful facsimile books that we have, I print them, and then I sit down and read them in comfort. I certainly don't find it comfortable reading things, long articles from my computer.
Well, you're right. It's not. It's a lot nicer to go sit in the armchair and read a book. But I don't have that luxury.
If I may ask, how long is the article to be considered long?
Oh, you mean before I print it off?
No, because I usually send out the translation or the Bill's articles, Bill's studies, you know, and people always complain, like, oh my God, 10 pages is too long, you know.
Yeah, people have short attention spans today.
Yeah, and I always tell them, like, if it's possible to write the topic in 2 sentences, you definitely will write in 2 sentences, but unfortunately it takes 10 pages.
Well, I wouldn't call 10 pages long. I call it long when it goes over 100 pages.
Well, right, 10 pages is usually a 10-minute read.
It's just an introduction.
People today do not have the attention span. Don't. It's crazy.
Not very good for the eyes, reading that direct from the computer. Does my eyes in. The glare of the computer screen.
Actually, if I may suggest, I don't know how many, if anybody knows this tracker for torrents, good book torrents and documentaries and so forth, is on the Conspiracy Central. I would really, really... what does this word is? I would recommend the site. It's if anybody I can't write on the forum. I don't know why, but if you go to consen, it's spelled consen.org, and look for the torrents. There's a lot of books I downloaded, like maybe 1,000, maybe more books in PDF formats, and I really recommend the site.
But you have to have a special software, don't you, to download the torrents?
I use the MeTorrent. If you're going for MTorrent, spells with 2 R, you will find it. It's free. You are download it, install, and you can go there. And there's no problem.
Well, when I've been trying to download that stuff in the past, I've had problems.
Yes, I have.
I never encounter any problems with that.
Right,
and
I'm having
usually,
a go then,
Rudolph. It usually tells me you need to sign up for their software, which you need to download.
Well, I used BitLord in the past, but the consen.org doesn't allow that, so I changed to the MeTorrent, and it's working with no problem. And I really appreciated the site, because, you know, there was a lot of... even Bill, I sent you some books I downloaded from there, you know.
Yes, you sent me a lot of things that you've gotten from the torrent, and including my Bible Works upgrade.
Yeah, but I downloaded the new version of Logos, but this time it's gold, but it's like 8 point something in gigabytes. You know, I can't send it.
I have an interesting booklet that I found. I thought I might send it to you. It's St. Paul in Britain.
Has she got some water?
What were you saying, Dorcas?
I found a little booklet on St. Paul in Britain. I thought Bill might be interested to have it. It's a booklet.
You know, I'm not sure about it. I kind of dispute it. I'm being honest with you. I'll not turn down anything for the library, but I dispute the story. I'm sorry.
Well, this is notes from the dedication stone, Temple of Neptune and Minerva at Chichester, which connects the Roman Senator Pudens and the British Princess Claudia and St. Paul with the city of Chichester.
I don't debate the connection of Paul to the to that family, right, and the Pudens, but what I debate is Paul's actual presence in Britain. I would love to see solid documentation, but I haven't yet.
This was written in 1910 by...
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, I thought you might like the history of it.
Yeah, I would like to see the documentation.
I mean, it was something that was found in 1723. It's quite old.
Well, I'm not saying I can't change my mind, but I'm very skeptical of that story.
Yes. I don't think they state categorically. You know, the other book said that St. Paul was buried in St. Albans. I mean, but this one goes into the history, and I thought you might be interested to have it. Anyway.
Who's the author?
Pardon?
Sorry, who's the author? I missed that when you began
the
speaking.
The author by Edwin Wilmshurst, and it was printed in Chichester by T.G. Willis & Co., 1910. And they were of Caesar's household, you know, quote, Philippians 4:22.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
And they found an inscription and a bit of history. It's only a thin little booklet, but I think I must have got it from Orange Street because I can't think where else I would have got it. But it isn't St. Paul in Britain. It's that royal family that's mentioned from their history. Pudens, Linus and Claudia. Anyway, it's quite an interesting little book.
Well, I'm being rude. Focus, Christian, Overworld, if you guys got anything you want to say, just request Talk Power, and I'll turn your microphones on. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I should make such an announcement. It didn't dawn on me, but I should have made it at the beginning.
Actually, if I may interrupt, I was looking at the list of publication of the Covenant Publishing Company, you know, the known British Israel publishing house. But I can't find anything, and even I wrote to them, but they sent me just the current card catalog. Can anybody help with that?
What is it you're looking for?
The list of publication, what they published, because they started published, I don't know, in 19th century, and they got a lot of good materials, but I can't find any complete list of what they really published, you know?
No, I
don't
think
you been to that website?
Yeah, but they just offer the current materials, current print, and some reprints. Not all they published. I found on the AB Books, which is the secondhand sale book site, I found The Coming of the Saints by John Taylor, the first edition from 1906, if I remember correctly. And they stated in the back there are like 40 pages of advertisements of the books put out by the publishing house, which is Covenant Publishing. So I'm just thinking about to buy that.
Right.
Oh, I think a lot of the books have gone out of print. They are reproducing some, but they're very expensive. I don't think they've got a sort of comprehensive list of what was published by the original Covenant Publishing Company, because it was before more or less fairly insular from the BIWF. I think it was somebody Dunstan who was in charge of it, and I think they had a place in Cardiff. Because there was somebody at Orange Street Church, I think, who they also went under the name of Megiddo Press, and I think they saw this person disappeared, and from what I gather, all the books, were sort of lost.
But with the list of publishing titles, you can at least know what you're looking for, because you actually can print all the can buy all books by the second hand sales. Some are pretty expensive. I spent like $50 for Father Abraham Children by Perry Edwards. Yeah, so it's pretty expensive for this little book,
Yeah.
This book that you were saying you were looking for, The Coming of the Saints by Taylor, John Taylor, Rudolph.
Yeah, I got the current print by Artisan Publishers, but this is the original, first edition hardcover,
Oh, the hardcover. Right.
I found one, it cost like £28, but I think it's worth the money.
Right.
Actually, I love the books.
And I think now quite a lot of the books can be found online.
Well, actually, I can fairly sell that what's available. I got most of them. Do you know the website www.archive.org?
No, I haven't come across that one.
It's spelled archive.org. And this is the site which archives a lot of things, from audios to the PDFs, Deja Vu files as well. And you can find there, pretty nice books saved online. I got 4 volumes of Eliot's Horre Apocalyptica, and a lot of historical books by Rawlinson, even Sharon Turner, History of the Anglo-Saxon volumes.
All right.
Now, I got that from Balakaius as a reproduction a few years ago.
Getting for free is not a bad price.
So that's free download. That's great.
It would be great to have
the download.
Also, I don't know, Rudolph, if you've been to the LibriVox site where you can get download in MP3 format talking books. They got quite a lot of the ancient histories of Britain and France, and I did in fact download some and sent some down to Bill's new Ensign site.
I'm not really into audiobooks because I don't have time to listen to them,
Well, I listen to them if I'm going on a long car drive,
Well, which reminds me, Sussex Man and anybody else concerned, that the FTP account information is going to change for the new Ensign site. Your accounts right now are going to be invalidated. I'll have to change your passwords probably when I change your account.
Right.
And I'll send you the new passwords.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
No problem.
That'll happen one day this week. I set up a totally separate directory for the new Ensign, for a new Ensign archive of documents. They'll be archived there instead. If I want to put them on the site, I'll have to move them to the new server.
Right. Is Pilgrim still working on it?
Oh, yes, she is. She's done a lot of great work on it.
I noticed last time I was in, I did... I had the telephone call, so I never got a chance to look at it after speaking to you last night, but I will try and get into it today. But when I did look at it, I noticed there had been a lot of new additions.
Yes, and I'm going to go straighten out a few minor things and clean a few things up, but I'll do that in, or sometime this year, I hope.
Actually, Bill, did Clifton put up a new WTL?
Not lately. I mean, I have the dates where I last posted something on the Clifton site. I'm looking
at it right now. The last was for the June, you know, so I was just curious if there's anything new for July.
No, you won't find anything new until the end of this month. I just proofread, and he just made the final corrections to his next two WTLs. And I still have to proofread four of his pamphlets, hopefully, within the next week.
I see,
I'm behind on my Clifton proofreading, too. I'm behind on everything. There's nothing I'm not behind on.
Tell me something about it. You know, I can't even continue with my translation because, you know, I'm having like a three hours a day, and I'm glad to get to have a shower and, you know, and the lunch.
So, which language do you translate, Rudolf?
From English to Slovak language and some things even to Czech language.
Oh, right. And
I'm Slovak by origin, you know.
Oh, right. And is there any Czechoslovakian or Slovak original identity material in those languages, as there is in the German?
Well, I don't know about German, but in Slovak language, I post them on my blog, which is christianfreeman.wordpress.com. I think so. It's com.
What I meant, have there been any ancient books published in Slovak alluding to their Israelite identity?
Actually, I don't know. We got the old book, or it's kind of poem by Saint, I don't know how to spell this name. You know, this two guys from Constantinople, the Methodius, and we call him Cyril. I don't know how to pronounce it in English. But I don't know. Even if there's anything, it's hard. It's really rare, you know, because you can't get a hold, you know, of anything pretty ancient. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. It means you can't. There are no libraries with old books, or is it restricted?
It's mainly restricted on a special permission.
Right. So it'd be difficult to get permission. So they're hiding the history.
Just a second.
Hello? Anybody there?
Well, yeah.
Oh,
Rudolf said just a second. I've been waiting for him.
So a minute gone.
Well, that's okay.
I'm sure there are old books in these sort of Eastern European countries with information about the Scythians and the other tribes.
I'm sorry, you had me lost. I wasn't following the conversation closely enough.
Well, I was asking Rudolf if he knew of any, as there is in German, of any books alluding to Czech or Slovak.
Sorry for interruption. I'm back. Okay.
Yeah. Do you think it's restricted access to the old books because they want to hide your real history in, you know, in Eastern Europe and?
Not really. It's probably because, you know, they value the books. Only thing that I can remember with restricted permission or requiring permission is like the protocols of the Elders of Zion in Slovak language. You know, the old old newspapers from the wartime Slovak state. You need to be student of history officially, you know, in the university or so to get access to them.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a bit like that in this country as well now.
So you don't have access to certain books in your country, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, some books are with restricted access, or with no access at all. But anyway, I got the protocols in Slovak language anyway, so I don't care.
Isn't it so pleasing that Slovakia has joined the Western democracies and now enjoys the freedoms that we have?
Oh, yeah. And what a blessing.
Incredible.
Well, the last time I was speaking with some English guys, I was really surprised how there was a request to ban the St. George flag.
Well, I don't see why we have any flags left. I mean, they should just hang a tiki hut on every pole, a picture of a tiki Zulu, maybe.
Well, I would know what to use a pole to hang on, you know. a lot of things to be put on. Okay, people, I'm off to bed. It's kind of 9 o'clock p.m. So I need to get some rest. I will be there next week. I will try to do my best.
Well, 2 weeks from now, Rudolph. 2 weeks from now, I think. I think anyway, unless our European brethren have any better plans.
Okay, I will stay in touch with you anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you, Rudolph. 2 weeks time.
Yeah.
Always
great to hear.
Goodbye.
Okay, I will be here. If I am still alive and well, I will be here in 2 weeks later on. Thank you for your company. It was a pleasure to speaking to you.
Thank you. And Rudolph, this is a 24/7 operation, this server. I mean, there's almost always somebody here. I'm just letting you know. I'm not trying to compel you.
I know I'm going here, you know, from time to time, so I see.
Okay, great. God bless.
Take care.
Yahweh bless.
Yes. No.
Well, over we're left. If you Americans have anything to say, just request talk power and I'll turn your microphone on. That's Municher or Focus Cushion. I suspect Bothink is really sleeping.
So what's the schedule now in 2 weeks?
Sorry, what were you saying?
Well, what is the schedule in 2 weeks? Don't you have a seminar going on? Don't you expect me to do something for a seminar?
Oh yes. It'd be nice if we could link up with you, but I think it would have to be on Skype so everybody could hear, because I don't know if that would be okay with it to connect on Skype.
Well, it could be anywhere.
Yeah,
you know, it could be here, it could be on Skype, and I don't... I could transmit here and on Skype at the same time, but I can't...
Right.
I can't patch through everybody else on Skype into here, but it doesn't matter to me what we do. Just let me know what you want, what you expect, and I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got it on the, Friday's fairly booked up, but could find a slot on Saturday or Sunday evening, Monday.
Fine, just let me know when. Well, give me a time and tell me where to be, and I'll be there, right?
What's it best, earlier for you, American time, or?
Well, I'll make the, I'll do what I have to do, Chris. I'll make the arrangements, don't worry about that. Yeah, you know what my program schedule is, and my programs are on at 4 a.m. in Britain. I don't think you'll be interfering with
that. No, we won't be around then, I don't think.
1 a.m. anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it might be nice just to, you know, for people, I'm sure they'll like the opportunity to discuss, say, your take on certain verses in the Bible, you know, and how you see them. Or something about, you know, the various documents that from what your translation was taken from.
Yeah, right. That's fine. Whatever. I could talk about anything. Just about. I mean, biblically related and ad libid. I mean, extemporaneously. Let me put it that way. I don't care.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you know, if you want a presentation, I'll do a presentation. If you need some, I'll do it that extemporaneous. It doesn't matter.
Right. Have to have a think. I'm actually in the process of sort of working out a schedule now of who's doing what. So hopefully that'll be done within the next day or so. So I'll get in contact with you, Bill.
Yeah, good. Well, we could do a teleconference on Skype. You know, I could do the camera thing. I'll comb my hair and maybe shave.
Yeah, because I've got a PowerPoint projector, you see, so I can project it onto the screen and connect up the computer to a microphone so everybody can hear. And then there's the webcam. I can turn my laptop round to face the audience so you can see the audience. And then pass the mic round after if there are any questions.
Yeah, that would be great.
So, subject to computers and everything working okay.
Yeah, if you can, let me know what the topic's going to be, and if you can't, well, that's okay too. I'll be surprised.
Because Eli said he would do one on the Friday. The Saturday at 3 o'clock. I was saying 2 o'clock our time. I think that's about 9 o'clock your time, 9 a.m. your time. And he's going to talk on differences between British Israel and Christian identity. Because I understand he did do a sort of test run, or at least he Skyped me, because he said he's just bought a video monitor. Which he didn't have before. He wanted to see if it worked. Seemed to work okay.
A video monitor? Camera?
No, a webcam, sorry, a webcam.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I could do the same thing. I could do the webcam thing. I have a webcam here.
It's only over on Sunday. I think they want to go up to Orange Street. Again, that depends whether it's open, how the trains are going. So by the time we get back in the evening, there won't be a lot of time, but it's also a possibility of that. And there'll be, I think we've got quite a few Dutch, like we've got about five Dutch ladies coming. One German, and I think the rest are English.
Well, that's fine. Is the one German Matthew?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we was hoping Wolfgang would come. He was going to come, but I think he had got some other work on, so he couldn't make it. Hopefully might next time we have one.
Munich, you got anything to say? I'll unmute you if you want. I mean, just let me know somehow, right? I'm sorry, Chris.
Oh, yeah, no,
Munich
okay.
Is the gentleman that puts up most of the images on the Minecon site for me.
All right.
I can say for us.
I was thinking with a name like that, he would be German.
Well, right. No, he's in America.
All right.
If you want to count Iowa as part of America. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
Hello, Bruce.
Hello.
You must be on the road. There's a lot of background noise. You must be driving. No, I guess not. Maybe I'm telling stories.
Chris, I must tell you that yesterday I bought a chiming clock.
Oh, right.
You'll probably hear it at 9 o'clock. It was such a find because I've always wanted one. It has got a loud tick as well, but I can't hear that, of course, unless I have my hearing aid up full blah. But actually, I went in the shop and she had a little sale on the window. I think she just puts a little notice up and takes it down because it was market day yesterday. And this clock, I looked at it and it was £188. I thought, oh, dear. So she came rushing up to me. She said, I'm going to take £100 off that clock. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, I can't let this opportunity go by. So I got it. And I'm absolutely thrilled with it. I've been looking at it all the time, and I wait for it to try. But I think there's something very nice about a chiming clock.
So you'd be competing with June and her chiming clock.
Oh, she's got one, has she?
Yes.
Ah.
But hers is in a living room, and you usually hear it. I think Bill said, what was that? Thought it was the doorbell.
Oh, I see. So she's got the chimes. Oh, dear. Yeah. You've still got your clock, have you?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, we've all got one down.
Oh, by the way, thanks for that article on the Vatican contracts. There was quite a few links, but, you know, being busy on that book, I haven't had time to do it.
No, I did send it out to a few people, to Ellie, and I sent one to Bill and a few people.
And that's why you haven't had many emails from me, because I've had my nose to the grindstone getting this book translated.
Yes, it's kept you busy, Chris. But I'm glad, really, because my eyes have gone again.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So I've got to rest them up for a bit.
Best to get out and look at the greenery that's on the eyes.
I think that's what I've got to do. Yeah. Stop reading. Get out more.
So has it been hot with you in the East Anglia?
Yes, it's very hot, and apparently the forecast is it's going to get really hot over the weekend. So, had no rain. There's going to be a hose pipe ban. Just no rain.
It's funny you should mention that, Betty. When Olin Fodler rung me today to give his apologies, he was complaining about it bucketing down with rain in Northern Ireland. I said, well, you could send a bit over here, save me watering the plants.
Oh, well, that's wonderful news, isn't it? It's raining, you know, we can do with that. Ground's very dry.
Mind you, I think it's always raining in Ireland. That's why they call it.
Yes, they call it the green country. Oh, here we go.
Oh, it sounds like Big Ben.
Can you hear it all right?
Yes.
I just love it. I've always wanted one of these clocks. There you are, got a wish fulfilled. I couldn't believe it when she took all that money off of it. I thought, well, I can't.
How much was it originally, you said?
188. She said, I'm going to take 100 off that. I think she was so desperate for a sale. I think if I'd stood there a bit longer, she might have taken more off. But
you might have got it for £8.
£180 is a lot of wood for a clock. That's a lot of money for a clock.
Oh, it is. It is.
It better make my dinner, too, and tell me what time it is.
I know.
I'm lucky.
I know. It's a real, my little clock has stopped. I went to put a battery in, but the battery, I think the clock has just worn itself out. It's amazing. Yes, it is a lot of money, but that was reasonable in this shop. It was rather a grand-looking shop, you know.
Is it a wind-up clock?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
$180, they better come to my house and wind it. 180 pounds.
Well, things are very expensive in England, you know. Oh dear. It's probably a Victorian, you know, going back.
I could have any kind of clock I want on my computer screen.
Can you? What,
yeah.
Oh, of course, I've got it in the corner. Yeah.
Well, my grandfather, he came from... His last name is Weston. Is that Wessex?
Wessex, yes. It used to be Wessex. It isn't now. It's an old county.
Wessex is...
That was Islamabad.
The Alibaba Mosque.
Something interesting I thought yesterday. I just happened to glance at the semi-final between Holland and Germany. And what struck me was there wasn't one black player in the German team. And it was so refreshing to see sort of Anglo-Saxon people representing their country, you know. And
real Germans.
Yes. In fact, they just look like English people to me.
It was mentioned in the paper about that. It was a few days ago, last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
When England was playing Germany, evidently Cameron happened to be in conference with Angela Merkel, and they had the television, and said, she apologised at him every time the Germans scored a goal.
Oh, right.
And evidently the papers were saying that they were forecasting England to beat Germany because the Germans were an inexperienced team, you know.
So. Wow, dear. Yeah, but it was a real pleasure, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I don't take any interest in football, because, I mean, they come from Timbuktu and everywhere.
I know. Yeah, I just happened, I thought, well, I wonder what the score was, and when I found out, you know, I switched it off.
I used to be going to school. I mean, took an interest in our local team because they were all local people playing.
Yeah.
And they didn't get in the team if they didn't live in the area. And they didn't get all this fancy money. They had a full-time job.
Yeah.
And then they gave up their Saturday afternoons to play football, you know.
I know, it was different, wasn't it? So different.
Yeah.
Horrible now.
Well, it's all this betting and money that's ruined it, isn't it?
Yes, bringing all these black people in. I don't know what the point of that is. I mean, and a foreign coach. I think they're globalising football, that's what they're doing.
Well, I know over here the reason they have black people in the sports is to glamorize and make them heroes amongst the populace. Yeah.
Really? Yes, that's true. That is their point, and it's working, isn't it?
It does work. Sports is very political, and I'm sure they use it the same way over in Europe too, in the football leagues, you know.
Yes.
So, I mean, they do it over here. I mean, that's why, you know, I used to be a huge, sports fan. And as of late, it just doesn't have the luster it once had, you know.
No, something's gone from it, hasn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Like you were saying, if your club is from, wherever in your local community, and you don't have anybody that's actually from that area, where's the fun in that?
No, there's no fun.
Right? And it's like, I remember watching FIFA or something like that a few years ago, watching the team France get out there, and there was like, maybe two French people on that whole team. And I'm like, that's just embarrassing to even field a team like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even if they do win, that's embarrassing.
Yes, it is embarrassing. They're just globalizing it. They know what they're doing, and the fans seem to have accepted it somehow.
Right. So the average rank and file over in the United Kingdom, they all fall for it, right?
Well, my brother said, you know, I said something about foreign coach. I don't go down the black area. He said, oh, that's good. He said, globally. You know, I said, oh, well, you like globalization. Yes, he said, I don't care who they play for. As long as they play the game well. And I think that he's saying an attitude that's out there. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's kind of sad. Well, maybe after they lose their jobs and can't get to find any work and can't afford tickets there and they can't afford just to even make a living, maybe their attitude will change a little bit because we're well on our way, right?
I think we are. Yes, and you're right. They will change. They've got to go through that to wake up.
Unfortunately, some people just have to feel the pain, right, before they wake up.
Yes.
Yeah, it's too bad, but that's the way it is for some people.
And all that trumpet blowing while they're playing, I said maybe they're putting some voodoo on the game through those things, you know. I mean, what a noise. Anyway, it's all over next week. Not that it bothers me.
When does it actually finish?
Next Sunday. Sunday is the final.
You mean this coming Sunday?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So how many white men have been robbed so far and murdered, and how many white women have been raped in South Africa so far? I'm just curious.
Probably untold.
And what might happen at the end?
Yes. Terrible. We won't hear any of that, will we?
Well, if it all kicks off, we probably will.
They probably ate them, Bill.
Yeah, right. They'll never testify.
Never find them, right? They put them in the pot.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's true.
Well, the only thing, the reason why I never believe that is that the Negroes can't make a pot. They just eat them raw.
Yeah. It's a shame that Mari Bruce is not coming over to you, Chris. She can't get the expense of the air ticket since they're having the football in South Africa. She won't be able to make it.
Oh, she said the prices had all gone sky high.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty cheap for people from the United Kingdom to go to South Africa, isn't it?
Yes, but to get out of South Africa into
Britain. Oh, yeah. It's just darn near impossible for them, right?
Yes.
Right. I know they're in a bad way there, and they won't get any coverage from the worldwide Jewish press, will they?
No.
I suppose they have Nelson Mandela giving the cup out at the final and glorifying him a bit more.
Wow. Didn't his daughter get killed or something like that here? Wasn't that
his
in the news?
Granddaughter died, and that meant he wasn't able to take part in the beginning of the affair, according to the radio.
That's because he had his hands full of diversity and multiculturalism, right? Oh man! So the guy lost his. So his daughter got murdered, or granddaughter got murdered, right?
No, she was. It was a car accident, I believe.
That's
what it was reported as. But I mean, when I heard that tutu man telling us how great was Mandela. He was the chief and the best and the greatest. And I thought, and this man's supposed to be a Christian. We all know who the greatest is. This Archbishop Tutu. Absolute rubbish.
Yes, yes.
You know, I was kind of rooting back when they were trying to get a new pope in the Catholic Church. I was kind of rooting for that black guy to win, you know, because, do you know how many people would just stop being Catholics because of that? You know,
that's a thought, isn't it? But apparently, Nostradamus, the last pope will be black, so.
Is that right?
Yes.
It was
told out earlier on while the other man was in, this John man, that the next pope would be black. And, of course, the person, the Englishman, who's a neighbour of mine, who heard that said, because he was looking at the awful blue flag for the European Union, not very happy about that. And this man, who was a priest, apparently, he said, oh, the next pope will be black. And, of course, my friend, who doesn't go to church, he said, well, he says, it's going to be a black man. Well, it turned out it wasn't a black man, but it is the black pope.
Right.
Because he's head and chief of the black side of life.
Mm. Right, right.
And so you see, this priest was right. It was only taken up in the wrong sense. And I think Nostradamus will be the same. Yes, he's off the mark.
I don't know too much about Nostradamus. So.
Well, I know nothing about him. But if he said that, well, Black Pope has preempted him. Because we've got him here now.
Well, we've got a black president, and so to all those people that say, black pope, it'll never happen. Just makes me laugh, right?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, all popes have been black.
Yes.
Ooh.
Some of them have been red.
That's it. You know, it's... You know, I mean, they won't stop until every institution of Western civilization is just a shadow of its former self. And that's the direct. And the more it goes that direction, I mean, people are waking up, albeit maybe not fast enough for our taste, but people are waking up. I don't know if they'll wake up fast enough to, like, you know, save America or you know, certain countries in Europe, you know, or the European Union for that matter. That thing's going to fall apart, right?
I don't think any of us are going to save anything or anybody. We are looking for the one who is going to do the dealing. When he comes, we won't have to shoot people. He'll do all the providing and clearing up. He tells us that.
Right.
I mean, all we are called to do is stand and witness to the truth.
And it's not really a hard job if you think about it, you know. So I don't know why people have such a hard time with that, right?
Well, if you always put it in your heart, you don't have a hard time with it. You can't avoid standing for the truth.
Right. Yeah, well, I always wondered why people, you know, stand for the New World Order. All these lackeys that work for the New World Order, I mean, what do they get at the end of the day, you know? Do they get a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow? I don't think they do. Well, they get kicked to the curb, don't they?
I'm not going to repeat what the Lord showed me about the gold, but we will be walking on it.
Hello.
It'll be valueless.
Yes, you're a little choppy, man of Dan, but we can otherwise hear you.
Praise Yahweh. My microphone didn't work before, so I guess it does now.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, you're getting a little better as you keep talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so what's up, Man of Dan?
Well, not much here in Denmark. People are just stupid. There are some awakening, but that's mostly to all the corrupt politicians and all their promises and all the acting and all that that hold that beast. But, it's kind of hard to, when you mention the Jew, people don't want to talk to you. Yeah. And all that crap. It's unbelievable.
Man, Dan, your quality's not great. Is there anything you can do to adjust the quality? Can you tinker around with it a bit? You're kind of coming in and out. Yeah, that's a little better. Just keep talking, and I'll see if it's better.
Well, now I'm just holding the microphone off. But not my mouth now, before it was on the table.
Okay, it's almost like you're experiencing lag.
Yeah, but maybe it's because of I have a poor connection.
Man of Dan, this is just terrible. I mean, I can't.
Internet connection.
Yeah, he's experiencing a lot of lag. I can tell because by the time I respond to him, he's still sending packets over. You know.
Right. This is a horrible. It's a horrible situation, Man of Dan. I don't know what to tell you. There's something seriously wrong with your connection. I've spoken to you before on this, and you sounded great.
Yeah, you're just having some lag, Dan. That's all it is. It might
probably
clear up
the Jews.
Yeah, it might clear up of its own accord, but you're having some bad lag right now.
Hope so. Bruce Gorman wants to talk.
Yeah, you know, I've given him talk power three times already, and I don't know what's wrong, but...
Yeah, but he's losing the connection.
Thank you. I kind of see the sports and entertainment industry, or, you know, whenever I go into a truck stop lounge, I'll tell all the wiggers and mamsers and niggers sitting around watching that idiot tube. And what are you grown men doing sitting around watching a bunch of grown men play with their nuts, their balls? You know, and it's just like escaping into these stupid novels, and there's so many thousands of escapes that it's just ridiculous. You know, making foot, you know, some sport are, you know, giving that any kind of priority above the love of Yahweh and our kinfolk. I would go so far to put it next door to pornography and gambling, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Like most entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's mostly for stupid people can't entertain themselves.
Yeah, and I would put the self right next to the Jew. Matter of fact, if the self is Judaized in the sense of, you know, what's going through our consciousness, we are a Jew.
Scary.
Well, it's good to hear that English accent of you folks over there and where our forefathers came from.
Donald Tuckett wins now.
Oh, you know that rotten root, Bill?
Bruce, you're breaking up now. I don't know.
Can't understand anything.
A broken and contrite voice Yahweh will not despise.
Well, now I can understand you.
Yeah, I'm getting close to one of those bee killer towers, you know. I'm always curious, driving on these highways in the States here, they dig these rectangular holes in the highways, and I don't know what they're doing, but it's really strange. Every 50 or 100 feet, they'll be digging these rectangular holes and refilling them.
Whereabouts is that in America?
I'm in Nebraska, going from Oregon to Ohio right now, ma'am.
They're not building underground tunnels then, or making, supposed to be a big tunnel network in America, no one knows too much about.
Yeah, I drive through a lot of them. They have cold storage caves and tunnels underground. Haven't seen any little green men yet.
Oh, that's good.
Just a little tight control in it.
Yes.
You know, some folks say that the Jews are going to fake alien invasions, an alien invasion, you know, on a planet.
Well, I wouldn't be able to
say they've already done it several times. People swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
They are the aliens.
Yeah.
The ones were warned not to let them have high places. Nobody took any notice of what they said.
That's right. So they create, what they do is they manufacture the scum movies like Independence Day and Armageddon, you know, different to titillate us and get our attention off what's really going on, basically, right?
Have you seen the new movie, Google of Eli? Anybody seen that with Denzel Washington? Here from 2000.
Oh, the nigger?
Yeah, it's about.
I don't watch, but I.
No, but listen, he has a Bible, and he carries that Bible, and he walks across the United States, and he wants to give the Bible to the righteous people, and he's a righteous black man. And then there's this evil white guy who's played by Gary Oldman, and he wants the Bible so he can control people. And then in the end, the nigger delivers the Bible to a guy that looks like, should look like some, with the white hair, like Einstein. Ridiculous.
Well,
and
I saw
another new movie where they had made the angels were white people, but they were dressed in dark suits. Their wings were black, and there were a nigger in the movie. He's saying, "Well, ain't the angels? They're the good guys." And one of the angels says, "No, that's not the way it is." So now they just like turned the Christianity around to the angels are evil and black, and it's interesting that here in 2010 they make a lot of movies about Christianity and how evil it is. Maybe it's because people are talking about the dual seedline message. I don't know, but it's just strange that here in 2010 they make two movies with black man and the other with the evil black angels. But the baddest one they ever made, Independence Day, where a Jew and a nigger saved the earth. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's all the kikes, the red dragon's flood that chase after the remnant of the woman in her seed. That's all part of the vomit of the Jew.
If you're watching,
it's a huge
films,
network of.
If you're watching these films, you're supporting them.
I'm not paying for it. I get them from someone who downloads them. I wouldn't pay for something like that.
I wouldn't even watch them if they were giving me £100 to look at it.
Okay.
It's sort of absolute rubbish. If you're feeding on that, you know what they say, you are what you eat.
Yeah, but I can spot the lies, and I can see the... Oh, another movie they made. It's kind of funny. Also here in 2010 with Leonardo DiCaprio, I think it is. He's on some mental hospital, and then he has some flashbacks. And that's, of course, to the Second World War, where he's an American soldier, and he's in Dachau, and he... All the people, the staff's people lying in the snow, you know, it's just, even in 2010, we have to have Holocaust propaganda.
Well, they gotta keep the sewer pump flowing, you know, to keep.
It's kind of funny watching.
They gotta keep that soup.
When you know the message, what a bunch of.
Yeah, when we take off that sewer pump hose out of our head and our heart, then we can start cleaning our house, but it's not until we do that.
No.
I know you stop. Go ahead, I'm sorry, ma'am.
When they make the film about how they treated the German soldiers after the war ended, tell me about it then, I might watch that. How Eisenhower and gang really murdered these men, deprived them of decency, food, clean water, cleansing facilities, everything. They just left them to starve and in their own filth. Absolutely dreadful. But you won't hear that on the telly or the films. That's left.
Yeah, well, I made a video about that. It's a Saturday Evening Post article. And this Kaikenhor, they got Kaikenhor signs all over the highways in this country. And it says the Kaikenhor date system, you know, with the five stars around it all over this country. And he never invented it. It was Adolf. Some more vomit.
Well, anybody seen that movie about Katyn, Poland? The Polish officers getting shot by those filthy types.
Yeah, I saw
that. But
I
like the end of the movie where there's someone who says something about when Poland is free, and then there's the reply is Poland will never be free. Think about that. I thought it was a kind of an okay movie. It was not Hollywood, anyway.
In a lot of these films, they're actually telling you what they're doing. It's sort of in plain sight, and people are taking it as a film. But they're actually telling you what is they're actually up to.
I've seen another ridiculous movie in 2009. Then in the movie, they're in some FEMA camp, and the barbed wire is bending outwards. And inside of that FEMA camp, it's like a trailer park where they're doing drugs and partying and stuff. So now they're telling people that a FEMA camp is nice.
Mm.
It's unbelievable.
I think it makes sense that it's done. And these niggers up into the central parts of the states, or more in the rural areas, you know, it's really a flood. And I don't. A bunch of freaks destroying our. But I believe Yahweh is going to gather together. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The sad thing is that one can put one's mind on all this and you're not getting on with what the Creator wants you to get on. He says, occupy till I come. I mean, we could talk till the cows come home, but it's not going to change anything. I think we've got to start doing positive things and boycotting all this stuff, because you do begin to feed off it, and I don't think it's very healthy. That I mean, all know it's there. I mean,
I understand.
We've just got to be positive and build our own existence and our own unity in a godly way, really. Let them get on with it.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, I think that what you're referring to and reacting to a problem or complex to existing problems and solution. But,
Bruce, you're all brave enough. This is getting painful.
Sounds like kick music.
Well, nothing is difficult for me.
I'm sorry, I can't take it anymore.
No, it's just like that that video, I think it was Icelander 93 that posted it yesterday or the day before, that with Adolf Hitler saying 999999. What a ridiculous video.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And the other with Brad Pitt saying, yes, 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 yes. Well, people who make videos like that, they should just be shot on
the
spot.
Well, yeah, they have way too much time on their hands. They have way too much time to waste.
If you think
Bruce, I'm sorry, I can't take you breaking up anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous because it just, it doesn't end. I don't know. It's not fruitful. You have a really bad connection, or I don't know what the problem is.
It's not there.
Do you?
Yes, hi.
Oh, I thought you had something to say. I thought you were trying to say something.
Sorry, the dog came in and...
Oh, Sasha.
I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. It's not half as bad as all the breaking up we're getting. I don't know if Bruce is on the road or what, but his connection's horrible.
Has Gerald sorted his problems out yet?
Not entirely. I don't know what Gerald's problem is. But I caught hell for chastising people the other night. So I sent out a little mailing today called, So You Want to Play Ball.
Oh.
That's why I sent that mailing out.
Right.
Well, if you
I don't
want to
play ball.
Well, no, my point is if you want to come here and participate, that's great. But you have to have the skills necessary to get here. Yeah, you know what I mean? You have to be able to make sure that your stuff works. You have to be able to, why come and punish everybody? I don't understand it. Yeah, you have to, Gerald, everybody's computer's different. Everybody's hardware's different. I can't fix everybody's computer for them. There's been 200 people signing in here. It works great for 190 of them. And Bruce usually doesn't have problems, but... When you have problems, you have to realize that you just got to sit in the stands. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Why torture everybody? Why ruin somebody else's program? And Tuesday night, like five people came on, and they all wanted to participate, and they all had problems with their microphones, with feedback, with breaking up, with loud background noises. And that's not right. You know, just step aside because... you're ruining everybody else's experience and fellowship. That's the way I look at it. I might be wrong.
Headphones. If I don't use headphones, there will be feedback.
Yeah, we have to use headphones here. That's what this is about. I mean, it's almost impossible to do this without headphones. That's just the way it is. I mean, headphones are $15 for a pair of headphones. I'm using a $17 pair of headphones I bought at Walmart.
I think my headphones were 20 crowns, so that's like $4. They're very crappy.
Yeah, but they're working. I mean, you're signaling, you have an internet connection problem sometimes, but your headphones work.
And they're made in China.
Of course they are.
Everything's made in China.
More and more people here in Denmark I talk to, they're tired of all that crap from China that keeps breaking. They want quality, like in the old days. More and more people are tired of all that. Buy some new. And at the same time, we are told that we have to use less energy and pay carbon, all that. And still we have to buy another flat screen TV.
Well, they don't tell the Chinese that they have to use less energy.
No, you know, I drink a bottle of water, you know, bottled water, and it comes from Turkey. We have water here in Denmark. Why do we have water from a water well in Turkey? I mean, how much pollution is it when it's... we have to drive it, transport it all the way from Turkey. We have water in Denmark. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And you don't see it. Oh, we have to... the environment and this and that. Well, then let's make what we need to make here in Denmark and not buy it from China. Think about how many thousands of
what
ships sail every day with thousands of containers with worthless crap.
What people don't understand is that green is red.
Red, yeah.
Yes.
Bunch of commies.
Yes. It's self-imposed Bolshevism is exactly what it is.
Yes.
I can imagine them in the future coming and knocking your door in and yelling and screaming and dragging you away because you have an old light bulb or something that used too much energy.
Imagine. And at the same time, in China, there's no EPA. There's no OSHA. I mean, I'm talking, speaking in American terms. There are no agencies which regulate pollution, labor safety, and any of that. They use slave labor, and they pollute all they want.
They are filthy people, the Chinese.
Well, yes, they're filthy people. They're absolute pigs. They're two-legged swine.
They eat, what they call, fetuses.
They're omnivores. They eat everything. I've seen them do some disgusting things. I've seen Chinese guys eat bugs right out of the air.
Like the Africans.
I remember I was in Cancun once in a mall, and there was some English woman and her little daughter, and a chink evidently grabbed his little daughter when she wasn't looking and, you know, actually, you know, wanted to do a sexual deviant, you know, touching her. She turned around, caught him, and yelled for the police, and this chink, you know, was molesting her daughter right there in the mall.
Wow.
They're sexually deviant, just like all the other non-atomized ones.
Yeah, I think I would have put him through the floor right there. He'd go straight to hell.
Yeah.
Cicadas, that's the name of the bugs that I'm trying to find in my head. The cicadas, cicadas, some people say it, they only come around once every 13 years or something like that. They're kind of like locusts. And I saw this Chinese guy. I saw this Chinese guy in a swarm of cicadas catching them out of the air and ripping the wings off them and eating them. I don't know why he didn't like the wings. Maybe they're too crunchy or something. He was eating the cicadas right out of the air. Well, they eat anything. I watched them in prison for 12 years, and every time I saw them, I just wanted to throw up because I ate in a Chinese restaurant when I was a kid, you know? And it's incredible.
I'm just going to say good night to everybody now.
Good night, Dorcas. It's been
good
lovely
night, Dorcas.
Questions.
Good night.
Yes.
Great to hear you.
Good night, Dorcas.
Yes. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Driving along the... Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up again, Bruce. Icelander typed in the chat that there was a Chinese guy who ate a deep-fried baby. I believe they would eat absolutely anything.
I've seen that. I've seen the pictures of the...
Well, even when I was young, back in the 80s, I think, I was watching the Discovery Channel program, and they were talking about how these Chinese fishing boats, they go catch these sharks, cut the fins off, and throw the shark in the water.
Oh.
Now we have the Chinese people, you know, there's a billion of them. They don't have enough food. They're starving to death. And they're throwing away these 1,000-pound sharks just to keep the fins. Not that I advocate eating shark, but I mean, The Chinese could eat all the shark they want. They're not under Yah's law.
It just shows you how cruel they are as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. They're cruel, and they're wasteful, and they're greedy. And they're never going to change.
Funny that, you know, most docs, they don't like niggas and Arabs.
So yeah, most people tend to dislike something different, except stupid white people. Well, white people just love things that are exotic and different.
Yeah, but I mean dogs. A dog. Most dogs, they don't. It seems like they don't like. They don't like Arabs and niggas. Like they some. Like they can feel they are evil or no spirit.
Yeah,
or some.
I'm sure. And Arabs don't like dogs, so they use the excuse that they're unclean.
Yes. Yeah.
But my son told me
devils.
They are the darkened ones, the mixed ones. They are unclean. It's
right.
Arabs. I people don't know, and I tell a lot of people that, you know, Arab means not be a full-blooded Arab. That means you're just the more Arab you are.
That's it.
Trying to wake up a lot of people. I don't talk about anything else.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Now, we've never heard of a nigger going to China and calling himself an African Chinese.
Yeah, right. I'm an Afro-China. How would Chinese hip-hop sound? Or Chinese Ebonics? How would that sound, Chinese Ebonics? I probably don't want to know.
I have on my computer, I have a folder on the screen, and it's called Gay Music. And when some of my right-wing kind of wigger-like friends coming by, I'll just open up the folder and play some Snoop Dogg and throw them some hand signs and them if they've been watching some nigger football lately and stuff like that, driving them nuts. I don't talk about anything else. Kind of interesting how it's good is evil and evil is good. Communism is good and national socialism is reality. National socialism is best for our people and our country. Political Christianity. Communism is Judaism.
Yeah, basically it means a society based on race, that's all, right?
Bruce, you just broke up the whole time.
I say National Socialism literally means a society based upon race.
Well, National Socialism was based upon race, yeah. That's the national part.
But what I'm saying is I think that's the heart of what it really is. Yeah. Not part of it.
Okay, if we're out of scene here, I'm going to end the recording.
Have anyone seen that movie called, I think it's called What is Racism? It's
no,
a guy called Craig Boudica that made it. It's a pretty good movie because all those anti-racists that he interviews, it is on Google Bio, they can't argue for, and they don't know what racism is, definition of racism. And there's, he asks some niggas on the street, they say, no, throw out the Mexicans, we don't want any Mexicans. And he compares it to that the whites can say, we don't want any niggas. And it's a pretty good movie. There's no identity message or anything in it, but it's a hypocrisy of that multicultural, crappy society. Or good movie.
Bill, you've got another program this evening, haven't you?
No.
I thought you had, no, not a program,
Well, I used to have a Bible study, but it's been suspended at least temporarily.
Ah, right. Anyway,
there was a division in the group.
Ah.
That wasn't precipitated by me. I didn't blow it up this time, I swear.
Well, it's 10 o'clock here, and I ought to go and take my dog for a walk, so.
Bless you, Judith. Thank you.
Anyway, thank you very much, Bill. And good night to everybody.
Good night.
Okay, I'm going to end recording. I mean, nobody.
Good night, all.
Good night.
This is the Christianity Euro Fellowship program, and thank you.